Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Believe in Lions podcast. That's B-L-E-A-V. I'm your host, as always, Jack Cavanaugh, and I am joined, as always, by the NFL interception leader, the all-pro safety for the Detroit Lions, a man with a 9-3 record against the Chicago Bears, had a couple picks against them as well. It's Glover Quinn.
Yes, sir. 9-3. You know what? And see, and I'm going to start out because I'm fired up already. We've been talking. I'm already fired up. But I've had conversations with Bears people, fans, players, friends. And I had to remind, like, guys, the Detroit Lions do not lose to the Chicago Bears, man. Like, we used to beat y'all every year. It was just, it's automatic two wins. Automatic. And you know, this week, you know, we're playing the Bears. They got, I don't know, they're one of their fans. He's a comedian. His name is Mojo Brooks. And I be going at it with him on Instagram all the time. All the time. And this week is not gonna be any different. So I'm fired up.
Fired up is a good way to put it. It's the Bears. I mean, you won 9 games against the Bears. Before Matt Patricia came to town, you'd only lost to the Chicago Bears once in your career. Well, I don't know if you played them against the Texans. Probably beat them
once
with the Texans, and you won that game too?
We won that game.
So you love playing the Chicago Bears, whether you're on the field, you're watching.
Loved playing Chicago. I think I got more interceptions against Chicago than any other team in the NFL. Love playing against Chicago. And I love going to Chicago. It's a beautiful city. It's a cool city. And I liked going there when it was cold because I just wanted to feel this is a great time to go to. Are they going? No, they got home, right?
Yeah, they're in Chicago in a couple weeks still, though.
Yeah. This is a great time to go to Chicago, though. It's holiday season. It's probably not as cold, but it's still probably pretty, getting ready for Thanksgiving. This is probably a good time. But, I mean, in a couple of weeks, it'll probably even be better. It might be some snow on the ground and Christmas and all that good stuff. But, yeah, Chicago is great. I love playing against those guys. But we don't lose to Chicago. And I look for that to continue this week.
And it really feels like when you look at the NFC North as a whole, when you talk about the Lions' relationship with the other teams in their divisions, with the Packers, it's just pure hatred. It's just, we hate the Packers hate us, and that's just what it is. With the Vikings, it kind of feels like a rivalry, but not hatred. The Vikings have their issues with the Saints, the Eagles. Vikings hate a lot of teams randomly, and the Lions, we just beat the Vikings. And then with the Bears, it just feels as though the respect is lacking. The Lions fans, the Lions players just know, yeah, we're better than the Bears. What's there to talk about?
Yeah, there is nothing to talk about. We're better than the Bears. We are better than the Bears. And we have been for a long time. And this year, you know, I saw something, I think it was last night, says Justin Fields is ready to return or wants to return. This ain't the week you want to come back, Justin. It's just not. Like, you don't want this on your hands. Come back. Then y'all get throttled. Let me stop talking like that before the Lions get unlost. But I'm just feeling good, man. I think this is going to be another big week for the Lions, man. It's a chance for them. You know, the thing I used to love about this time for the Lions when I played there is it's a great opportunity for you to capture 2 quick wins. Play on Sunday and you come right back and you on Thursday morning for Thanksgiving. And the Lions don't lose on Thanksgiving. And so for that to be 2 division games, Chicago backdoor right back with a Green Bay, a chance to get from 7-2 to 9-2 with 2 more division wins. Like, this is a great opportunity for the Detroit Lions. So I'm excited. I'm excited for those guys because I think Sunday is going to be a big day, and I think they'll backdoor it with a Thursday win as well.
BetOnline is your number one source for your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting in your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV. Bet online, where the game starts. And that's kind of what I'm thinking, because oftentimes you'll hear teams talk about looking ahead, looking past the team that they've got, and sometimes it can lead to some struggles. I don't see that with this Detroit Lions team, at least not when it's a divisional matchup against the Bears, followed by another divisional matchup against the Packers. I can't see the focus wavering, because the team knows, hey, we get through this little patch here, and then we just get to enjoy Thanksgiving, get to enjoy the 10 days off. This doesn't feel like a trap game like some of the media want to pretend it is.
Right. I don't think that's a trap game. I think the Lions are mature enough. They've shown that this year that they are mature enough. And I think, like you say, that they have the perfect schedule. Although I probably would have preferred maybe one more game in between. But they just come off the bye, come off of a break. They played last Sunday. They'll get, you know, three games in this stretch, you know, Sunday, Thursday, and then they'll get another break. And then, you know, they'll have, you know, I think six or seven games to finish out the season. But I think it's perfect timing outside of, like I say, I wish maybe they'd had four games in between the bye and the Thanksgiving break where you can just, you know, because sometimes you just get tired of sitting around and waiting. You know what I'm saying? You just came off the bye and you play. Now you got to go basically on another little break. But outside of that, I think the Lions are in a good spot, and I think they'll definitely be excited, you know, to capitalize on that. Detroit, it's a great place to be around this time as well. You know, it's just like I say, it's holidays. It's beautiful out there with the trees and the colors, and it just feels like Thanksgiving. And you know, the Bears is a divisional game, and the Lions will be fired up to beat the Bears. They just will. I don't think they ever look past the fact that we beat them all the time. I don't think they look past the fact that, you know, they have injuries or just things that are going on. I think they'll be fired up to go out and play a very good divisional football game.
Yeah, and it's one of those, it's expected, but not a given. The Lions are going to take it seriously, but they expect to win. They beat the Bears twice last year. I don't care that Justin Fields come back. Justin Fields had some success last year against the Detroit Lions, but it was all with his legs. He rushed for over 200. I think he almost had 300 yards in two games rushing, but the passing stats were not up to par. We all remember that interception Aiden Hutchinson had right before the half. Just things like that. So does Justin Fields scare you at all? Or is it one of those things like, yeah, he can beat us with his legs, but he's not going to beat us for four quarters?
Right. And that's the thing. I don't think he scared me in that regard. You know, if he had some really dynamic wide receivers and he was throwing the ball well and running well, that would scare me. The fact that he's just running, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, in baseball, the ball moves a whole lot faster than people run, right? And so I kind of look at it like that in football. It's like, yeah, Justin Fields, you can scramble around and make some plays. But if you're not throwing that ball up and down that field for 200-300 yards, it's going to be tough to beat a Lions team that's probably going to throw it up and down the field for 300-400 yards. You know what I'm saying? Just not going to be able to keep up, put it like that. You're just not going to be able to keep up with, you know, everything that they're doing. They're putting it out there for you, and it's going to be very difficult to keep up with that. And so that's kind of my thing. Justin Fields doesn't scare me from a passing standpoint. And I think the Lions can outscore his running efforts.
That's kind of how I feel, too. On any individual play, I am scared of Justin Fields because he can take it to the house on any given play. But he's not going to do that every play for four quarters. He's going to have some mistakes. And he hasn't really been practicing a whole lot. He's had the thumb injury. So when you see a quarterback that has a thumb injury, what are you looking for as a defender? How does that impact what you're looking for? Is the ball going to leave his hand a little bit differently? Are you aiming for the ball more when he's in the pocket? How does that impact what you are targeting?
Well, I was a defensive back, so I didn't really care about all that stuff. It's just, can he throw or can he not? You know what I'm saying? I don't have time to be looking at, well, the ball is coming out a little different, his arm. Like, I don't have time for all that. Is he going? Can he throw or can he not? And what I mean by can he throw or can he not is you can tell when a guy and a team know that he's only throwing because he has to throw. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's only going to throw certain types of things, right? Like, if you look back at 2009, when Stafford is in Detroit and he gets hurt versus Cleveland and he breaks his shoulder, but then he comes back in to that game, right? They're bringing him in to throw the ball, but they're at the one-yard line, right? They're not bringing him in to throw the Hail Mary. They're not bringing him in just to hand it off to the running back. They're bringing him in to throw it, but they're at the one-yard line. So he ain't got to throw it very far, right? That's kind of how I feel. You can tell if they come out and they're not allowing him to throw the ball down the field, or he doesn't even look comfortable throwing the ball, right? You see him in warm-ups. He doesn't look very comfortable throwing the ball. And then they come out early in the game and you see him running a little more and hesitant to make throws. Well, now you know, okay, he don't have the confidence to throw it deep down the field right now. Maybe his hand hurt. He hasn't practiced. But he don't have the confidence to throw it deep down the field right now. Everything that he's throwing is right now. Screen passes, quick slants, quick throws, right? He's trying to get the ball out of his hand. So now you start to play defense accordingly and makes it very difficult for these quarterbacks. So, you know, having a thumb, I don't know, you know, as a D lineman, I don't know if they're purposely trying to go and hit his hand. I mean, I think they're trying to get the ball.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, his hand is a part of the ball probably, and it may get caught. But I just don't feel like that's their mentality. Oh, I'm trying to go hurt his thumb. Like, guys, we just trying to get the ball. I don't want to hurt.
Yeah.
We don't want to hurt people purposely. Things happen, and you know what I'm saying? But that's not the goal, to go out and hurt somebody. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to get the ball. And if your hand gets in the way of me getting the ball, then I got to get your hand. Just unfortunately that is hurting.
Yeah, and when your hand isn't as strong of grip because your thumb hurts, the ball is more likely to come out as well wherever you get hit, even if it is just a regular sack, even if it's a scramble. So it's those kinds of things that I am wondering about, because it's different than if it's, say, your index finger, because your index finger is the one that puts the spin on it. You're probably not looking at wobbly balls, am I correct?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. And like I said, it's a professional football. Like, if he can't throw spirals and, you know, grip the ball well, he's not going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for one, he's not going to want to play. And for two, the team's probably not going to put him out there. I mean, you want to put somebody out there that's going to give you the best chance to win. And if he can't throw the ball, hold the ball, he's not giving you a chance to win, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it'll be interesting to see what percentage Justin Fields is back to, because it has been confirmed he's going to return. But this is also going to be a return of sorts for David Montgomery facing his old team. And I know we've talked about this plenty of times. Not every time you face your former team's a revenge game, because a lot of the time you're happy with how you left. I don't think David Montgomery really loved his time with the Chicago Bears. I don't think he liked all the losing, and I think he felt disrespected that he wasn't offered a contract when he left.
Yeah, I mean, and that'll play a factor into it, you know. And the fact that it's new, right? It's new. Like I said, sometimes people be in situations where, kind of like me, right? Like when I left the Texans and after the 2012 season, I signed with Detroit in 2013. We didn't play the Texans till 2016. You know what I'm saying? Like the coaches weren't even the same coaches. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, the management is the same probably. No, the GM was gone. Like, it's just different. You know what I'm saying? If we'd have played them in 2013, then, yeah, I probably would have felt some type of way, right? Because I was in the same boat, right? Wanted to get signed, said it was going to re-sign you. They didn't, yada, yada, yada. And now we get to play each other the next year, not 3 years later. So for David, that's how it is, right? It was just in Chicago, and now you get to play him two times the very next year. I'm sure he's going to be pumped up. He still has friends on the team. Like, he knows people on the team. Like, he's going to be ready to go. And I mean, LeBron and KD said it the other day. KD said it. I saw because the Lakers played the Phoenix Suns the other night. And KD was like, for all you people who don't know basketball or something, he was saying, basically, he was saying, friends compete harder against each other, right? Mm-hmm. They compete. A lot of people think friends let you off the hook. No, we ain't letting you off the hook. I'm not trying to hurt you because you my dog, but we going to compete. Somebody got to pay for dinner. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody got to pay for dinner, right? So we're going to compete. And so Dave is going to, he still has friends over there. So he's going to compete. He's going to run harder, you know? You know how many times he's been in practice with those linebackers and they just got to thud each other up and it's a thud and the linebackers are talking smack about how they would have smacked you and you're talking smack about how you would have trucked them. Now you really get to do it. All those DBs and everybody that's talking smack, now you really get to do it. So they're going to be fired up for him. He'd be fired up for them. That's just a part of it.
And this is really setting up to be a kind of perfect David Montgomery game. Because I don't know about you, but I think the Lions are going to get up early. And I think they're just going to run the ball in the second half. It's just going to be a 30 touch for David Montgomery after they're already up by 21 points at half.
Well, I would say, I would say different.
Ooh.
I would say different. I would say, yes, the Lions will get up. But I don't think it's just going to be a steady dose to David Montgomery. If I was fantasy, I would get Khalif Raymond.
Ooh.
On my fantasy team. I would put him in this week. And the reason why I say that is because the Lions know that they have the quick turnaround. So if they get up on Chicago, I can't see them just running David Montgomery, getting him hit 30 times, knowing that he got to turn right back around and go Thursday morning. Not a Thursday night game. You're going Thursday morning.
Ooh.
Against another divisional team, right? So I can see them, if they get up, screens the Khalif Raymond, because they still want to run the ball, run the clock, but they don't want to just turn around and hand it off to David Montgomery 30 times.
Yeah.
Right? But we want to keep the clock moving. So let's get him some screens. Let's get him some speed sweeps. Let's let him carry the ball a little bit because he can run the ball. He can pick up a first down. We can mix it in, give David Montgomery a carry here, Jameer a carry here, a screen to Khalif Raymond, you know, a quick out for a first down to Laporta, a play action first down first to Amon-Ra St. Brown, another run, another, you know what I'm saying? They can mix it up to where they can do high completion, high run plays, but not just turn around and hand the ball off to David Montgomery to get hit 30 times when you got a short turnaround. Now, if he didn't have to play on Thursday, yes, because they know he's playing against his former team. And if he got a chance to run it down the throat, you know, they probably will let that happen. But I think the fact that they got a quick turnaround, I think Dan Campbell will be more interested in the bigger picture than David Montgomery rushing for 40 carries against the Chicago Bears. That would be my opinion.
That's a really good point. That is something that I had not thought enough about, because you're right. It is a quick turnaround, and David Montgomery is a really important piece of the puzzle. You don't want to risk an injury to him. So, yeah, you might be right. We might see just a little bit of everyone on Sunday for the Detroit Lions, a little bit of Khalif Raymond in the second half on those screens, on those jet sweeps. Maybe even Craig Reynolds, RB3, ends up getting some carries towards the end of the game, because we know it's going to be a Lions win, and it's going to be a big Lions win.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, you will definitely see Craig Reynolds and Khalif Raymond, Jameson Williams screens. You will see a lot of that. I'll be willing to bet on that.
I think the offensive line would have a lot of fun with that. Penei Sewell and getting out in space and all of that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for the offensive line, Hal Vitae has ended his season. He is on injured reserve. He suffered the back injury. Graham slides right into that right guard slot. And so we still have a dominant offensive line, but it's always unfortunate. And we do wish Hal Vitae a speedy recovery.
Yeah, I saw that. I think I saw that yesterday. And I saw that the Lions had the number one ranked offensive line in the league. And Graham was in that photo. So, you hate to see somebody go down. You wish him a speedy recovery. But they're deep. They have some guys, and Graham's been there for a while. I remember Graham was there when I was there. You know what I'm saying? Graham is just he's an old lineman for sure. This dude Graham used to wear a suit on Sundays. When we traveled, right? And after the game, they would let us wear like sweats back. This dude Graham would put his suit in the suitcase, and he wouldn't pull it out until the next away game. Like when we got ready to play another away game, he's pulling his suit.
Oh,
wrinkled, everything. Graham's like, whatever. Like Graham's an old lineman. True. The picture that you have in your head of an old lineman is Graham. Like Taylor is not the picture that you have in your head of an old lineman. Graham, that's an old lineman.
It's just such a classic offensive line move. Comes out first away game, probably looking all good, just got his suit. And then the next game is a little bit more ruffled. And then it's a little more ruffled. And eventually you've just got folds where there shouldn't be folds. The shoulder pads have caved in. Oh, yeah. Goodness, Graham.
Yeah. Graham's a funny guy, man. I like Graham. We used to be locker mates.
Do you think
his locker was right next to mine?
Do you think he still wears the same suit?
He probably do. I wouldn't be surprised, because that's Graham. I wouldn't be surprised if he still wears one suit. Well, they don't even make him wear suits anymore, I don't think. I see a lot of travel pictures and stuff when players travel, and they just be in, like, you know, sweats or, you know, sweatsuits, jogging suits or whatever. Well, so I don't know if they make them wear suits like we used to have to wear back in the days. And I guess we didn't – Coach Caldwell didn't make us wear suits. We just had to wear a jacket. So you can wear slacks and a jacket or whatever. It just was easier to wear a suit. And then when the leaders on your team were wearing suits, and we were making, like, me and Stafford and Calvin and James Ahedibo and Quandre Diggs and Tully and, you know what I'm saying, Sue. Like, when your guys are wearing suits and we getting dapper out there, everybody start wearing a suit. you know what I'm saying?
You got to compete. You got to look good like the vets. Right. You can't let the vets down. You can't let Glover Quinn down.
That's right. We going to, hey, DBs, we going to be right. We going to be right. Got to represent. So, yeah. That was, but like I said, I don't think they do that anymore. I don't think they make them wear a lot of that stuff anymore.
No, I think it was an away game that we saw Benito Jones in the overall. So that's a big change from a suit.
Yeah. They kind of let him get by with it now.
Maybe Graham could rock the overalls. Who knows?
Graham's a funny guy, man. Oh, man, I wish you guys. We need to get Graham on the pod. Graham's a funny guy.
I would love to hear from Graham Glasgow, especially all he's done this season, too. It's just playing his way back into the hearts of Lions fans across the country. It's been beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And he's a Michigan guy. He went to Michigan. So he's funny. I like Graham.
And hopefully
for the O-line to dominate.
That's what I was going to say. I'm hoping that Graham Glasgow and the rest of the line has a big game. They're pulling out of space. They're moving some people. Because this Bears defense hasn't been great. I mean, their last game, they did hold the Panthers to 13 points. But it's the Panthers. We've already seen what they've done. And before that, they gave up 24 to the Saints. They gave up 30 to the Chargers. And the Lions offense is obviously better than the Chargers offense. So that tells you something. It's just, it's not a good defense by any means. Even after adding Montez Sweat, they got a little bit better, but it's still not a defense that strikes fear into your heart.
Nah, I mean, especially on the road too. I mean, if they're going to play good, it'd be at home, but you know, it's just been a lot going on in Chicago. It's just been a lot going on. You know, the D coordinator, Allen, he left early in the year, and it's just when they got rid of Roquan Smith a couple of years ago, it was like, what are you guys doing? Really? You guys must be going in a rebuilding phase or something. And I think that's what they are. And I don't even know, is Eddie Jackson even playing? I saw him hurt the other week when I was watching.
He's back. He came back against the Carolina Panthers. And so I think he's going to be in the lineup. But I don't know if he'll be back next year. I think he's a free agent, and I think he might be on his way out too.
He's gone. So, yeah, I just don't know a lot about who's even on the Chicago defense. You know, like it's just – And I hate to be that way and just overlook this team because it is a division game and anything can happen. I understand that. I just don't know. The Lions will have to play really bad to lose this game. And I think if they lose this game, we still will spend more time talking about how bad the Lions played than how good Chicago play. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
It'd be like the Lions gave the game away. They were awful here. They were awful there. They couldn't this or that. As opposed to, man, the Lions played really good. The Bears just played great. I don't think we'll have that conversation.
Yeah, because to have that conversation, Justin Fields has to blow us away for four straight quarters. Or the offensive line has to dominate for four straight quarters, or the defense has to be making plays for four straight quarters. And I don't see any individual of those things happening, let alone multiple of them coming together in the same game. So I hate being cocky because you never know what can happen, but I just feel so confident in the Detroit Lions against the Chicago Bears. Do you have any final score predictions?
Well, I will make a score prediction. I'm going to put it Lions 31. Because I can see them possibly coming out fast and then, like I said, kind of taking the foot off the gas just because they know they got a short turnaround. So I can say Lions probably 31. Chicago 10, 31-10, something like that. I think they're three. I think they're a three touchdown better team than Chicago. So I go like 31-10, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right for the Lions versus the Bears, and the Lions just continue to dominate. And then they get the Packers on Thanksgiving at home. Can't wait to talk about that. Did you ever play the Packers on Thanksgiving? I know you played the Packers plenty of times, but I think you'd had one against the Packers, didn't you?
My first year in Detroit, we played there the Packers on Thanksgiving. We beat them like 40 to something. Aaron didn't play. He was out there talking smack. Aaron. Hey, man, my 6 years in Detroit, I had a winning record against the Packers, too. Bump all of them. I think I had a winning record against every division of team we played. The Packers, the Vikings, and the Bears. If I'm not mistaken.
I think we calculated it. I think you were two games up on the Packers. I think
7-5 against the Packers.
Yeah, I think you were 7-5 against the Packers. I think you were a game or two up on the Vikings. Oh, we haven't played the Vikings yet, so I haven't done the math yet. I'll do that for the Vikings episode we do, but yeah. I know the Bears, you have a 6-game lead on the Chicago Bears.
And I got a homeboy, Sherrick McManus, who played with the Bears for a long time. And I used to tell him, like, Cheryl, bro, we beat y'all every year, man. Like, you guys didn't win. He was like, man, let me look at the – he started pulling out 2018. I'm like, bro, from 2013 to 2018, y'all might have won one time. Maybe. Yeah, well, we got 18, which is Matt Patricia's year. Y'all won both games. But – bro, we'll beat y'all 8 times in a row. Literally. Stop it. Stop it. So, yeah. Yeah.
That's how it is with the Chicago Bears, though.
Yeah. I'm going to get on Instagram today. I got to say something to Mojo. We got to get something going.
I cannot wait to follow up and see what you end up getting out there. I cannot wait to see the fights you're picking out on social media. Any final thoughts on the Bears, the NFL, the Lions, or anything in general?
Oh, man. Final thoughts. You know what? Nah, man. Just enjoy, man. It's holiday season. Be safe. Enjoy some football. Love on your family. You know, we lost one of my teammates that actually played with me in Detroit. DJ Hayden was killed in a car wreck on Saturday morning. So keep them in your prayers. But love on your loved ones. Be safe. Enjoy the holidays. And enjoy some Lions football.
Our thoughts and prayers are with DJ Hayden and his family, his loved ones, his friends, his teammates. And yes, just go out there, love up on your family, enjoy this weekend, enjoy your holidays. We will be back soon to talk about Thanksgiving, give you a little bit of something to listen to on your flight home, on your car ride over to your family, whatever it is. We will be there and we will see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.